Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. The Federal Commission on School Safety issued its first report on Tuesday, more than 10 months after a gunman opened fire at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, killing 17 people. While the commission's original intent was to address gun violence in schools, the report also made broad recommendations about race and school discipline. Officials called for a rollback of the Obama administration's school discipline policies, which had been implemented to protect students of color from facing tougher punishment than their white peers. The recommendations come at a time when racial disparities in school discipline are on the rise in the United States. Simply put, black and brown students are more likely to be arrested or referred to law enforcement. Here to discuss the report and the response to it is Emmanuel Felton, reporter for the Hechinger Report. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Thanks for having me.
And Todd Cox, director of policy at the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. Welcome, Todd.
Thank you very much.
Emmanuel, let's start with you. What was the 2014 directive by the Obama administration? I remember it clearly, but give us a sense of what was happening at the time.
Right. So, I mean, the 2014 guidance was really the culmination of years of advocacy by students and parents and organizations around the country around this issue of the school to prison pipeline, right? And that's this idea that minor school discipline infractions could snowball, right, from suspensions to expulsions to school-based arrests, right, given the rise of school-based police officers around the country in the wake of other shootings like Columbine and Sandy Hook. You know, back in 2014, the Justice Department and the Department of Education under Arnie Duncan and Eric Holder as Attorney General released this guidance that asked school districts to really take a look at these really wide discipline gaps, right? So what we found is that black and brown students and students with disabilities were being suspended, expelled, and subject to school-based arrest for the same sorts of incidents that their white peers were not, right? So we saw these, 4 to 5 times more likely to be arrested or expelled. So, it had really documented years of data showing that this disparity was there and that it was wide and that school districts really should take a look at it. And there's some really powerful language there that even without intent, there was discrimination in how our nation's schools were administering discipline.
One of the things that stood out to me at first glance was that the authors of this report are sort of calling out the theory of disparate impact. Now, I just want to make sure we're clear that disparate impact isn't a theory. Disparate impact is the data that shows that different groups are treated differently. And I want to read some of that data, looking here at a Washington Post report based off of federal data, which says that black students accounted for 15% of the student body in the 2015-2016 school year, but 31% of arrests. So when we look at that data, how does disparate impact become a theory?
Right. Yeah, no. So it has been a favorite target of conservative legal scholars for decades now, right? That we could use data and statistics and analysis to show that discrimination is at play. Because without that, what you have to do to successfully prove a discrimination case is show intent. And that is an incredibly high bar, right?
In other words, I meant to discriminate
exactly.
against you, right?
So this guidance was saying that you might be discriminating even if you didn't mean to discriminate against black children, right?
So I want to bring in Todd here for a second. Todd, did you expect this guidance in particular as it relates to school discipline and race to be a target of this report?
Unfortunately, we did. This administration has had the school discipline guidance in its sights since the very beginning. And unfortunately and cynically, they used the tragedy in Parkland as well as this commission as a vehicle to rescind it. But we've been aware for quite some time that they have wanted to remove the guidance and have been advocating with the administration when we could, but also with Congress to make sure that the administration, Department of Justice, Department of Education were using all the tools available to ensure that our students are safe, but also that our civil rights and education, civil rights laws and education laws are properly enforced.
How are we defining safe here? Because I'm really struggling, Todd, to understand the connection between gun safety and school discipline and how it's impacted students of color. Is that feels like a very tenuous link here.
Well, the guidance, I mean, just sort of step back and really talk a little more about the guidance. It was designed by the Obama administration to make it clear that the school discipline being meted out by schools were in line with Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 64. We talked a little bit about disparate impact. We talked a little bit about intent. But the idea was that the guidance provided both clarity regarding the law, how the law applied to school discipline. We talked about the disparities, how it was being unfairly applied to students of color and excluding them from educational opportunities. But it also gave schools tools and information on how to create safe school climates where teachers, social workers, students would interact in a way that would mitigate any of the harms that strict school discipline would ensure. Requirements that students have meetings to discuss possible infractions with teachers, ameliorative processes with social workers, working with school administrators to make sure the climate as a whole was fostering educational opportunities for everyone. That's how we're defining safe, making sure that all the students have opportunities to go to school in an environment where they feel included, where they feel safe, and therefore where they can receive the education that they are entitled. What this administration has done in response, again, to the Parkland tragedy, has said, well, we're going to blame the school discipline guidance without any evidence whatsoever. And more than that, what they call harden the schools, encourage either through funding, which they've now backed down on, or by recommendation that teachers and officials arm themselves. And we know that because of implicit bias, that again puts students of color in harm's way.
Emmanuel, you're nodding your head. Tell us. Yeah.
No, I think it's really interesting, right? Like you look at this, there's a section of the report that recommends that this is that the guidance is revoked. And in that section, it includes a lot of voices of teachers and teachers unions who have, in some parts of this country, come out against this guidance, right? There was this feeling that their classrooms were less safe and that they were more disruptive because the federal government theoretically had, like, taken this tool away from them. So, you know, that's a part of the justification. And then there's these few sections on disparate impact. And then there's
does it ever get to guns?
It remains silent on the connection between this 2014 guidance in a shooting like Parkland. I mean, it's really interesting that, you know, this is the context that we're removing this guidance, right? I mean, Nicholas Cruz was a white kid who had been expelled and referred to police. Like, it's the connection between the 2014 guidance and the Parkland incident is
tenuous at best.
I
want to dig in a little bit there, Todd, and also Emmanuel, because in the report, and just so for those folks who aren't aware what implicit bias means, it's the racism essentially that's covered, right? It's what we don't expect.
Right.
It's sort of the subconscious way that we think about people and genders and race and et cetera. Now, the question here is that the report is saying, well, they basically are saying there's no, you know, disparate impact and implicit bias aren't the issue, and they're saying that these issues are due to societal factors other than race, mm-hmm. that racial disparities are due to societal factors other than race. Emmanuel, what's your take on that?
So, I mean, we go back to what this guidance was about, right? The guidance wasn't about, like, what were the culmination of factors here that led to this huge disparity? The guidance was about that this huge disparity exists and that it is affecting the lives of students of color around the country. So it feels...
But there's a suggestion here that those students and Secretary Betsy DeVos herself has said that the primary responsibility for school safety is also in the community, within the state, within local communities, local problems need local solutions. Whose responsibility is this really?
Well, you know, it's interesting that there's a mention of more mental health in schools in the report, but there's no new dollars for that. Like, you know, I think it's a both hand thing, and I wonder where the other side is.
Todd, what about you? What are your thoughts on this idea that these disparities have to do more with societal factors other than race?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, again, it's a red herring, right? They're ignoring the fact that we have the disparities and that those disparities in how students are being treated are resulting in exclusions across a number of areas discipline, a number of areas of discipline impacts, race, disability, LGBTQ status. So, you know, I think it's important to root out and figure out why we have the disparities. We have evidence that indicates the disparities are linked to implicit bias based on race. That's pretty clear from a lot of the research we certainly support. But the most important thing to do here is make sure we're figuring out ways to solve it and resolve it. And what they've done is taken away the tools. They mentioned mental health. Well, curiously, the guidance actually would have had those tools available to schools. And with regard to whose responsibility it is, the Obama era guidance didn't strip schools of their responsibilities to solve the problem. In fact, it was giving them tools to solve the problem. And the federal government does have a responsibility here. Their responsibility is to make sure that the schools at the local level, in a very unique way that's appropriate for them, are compliant with the civil rights laws. And the Department of Justice's responsibility and the Department of Education's responsibility is to make sure that if there are violations, that they take action.
So, Todd, what would you have wanted to see from the report?
Well, you know, we would want to have seen a commission report that genuinely lifts up, frankly, the importance of the Obama-era guidance, that honestly looked at the success that jurisdictions have had in resolving school discipline policy issues and enforcing school discipline policies in a non-discriminatory manner. This administration itself has produced statistics showing there's disparity, and we really would have wanted to see a commission report that recognized those disparities and basically, frankly, double down on the need to enforce the guidance or to have the guidance available for schools. I think separately, apart from the guidance, we want an administration, education and Department of Education, as well as the Department of Justice, who are serious about enforcing our education civil rights laws, all of them. And, you know, there's lots of evidence out there that there's racial disparities in education across the board, 60-odd years post-Brown. And we believe that the Education Department has a critical role in making sure that those disparities are resolved.
That's Todd Cox, Director of Policy at the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. And thanks to Emmanuel Felton, reporter for the Hechinger Report. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having me.